This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. What a beautiful passage from Ephesians today. I particularly like this part. It's the middle part of the run-on sentence that Dennis did so well with. "With the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which God has called you. What are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, according to the working of God's great power?" Of course, these beautiful sentences begs certain questions. What is the hope to which God has called us? What are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of God's power? All beautiful phrases, but what do they actually refer to? Ephesians sets up what is more or less a two-part theology, or understanding of God. The first part of this theology centers on God's cosmic plan of salvation. This plan of salvation is quite expansive. The author of Ephesians writes about how God first established this covenant with God's children who are Jewish. And through many ups and downs and twists and turns, God maintained this covenant, this promise of everlasting relationship, this salvation. Because that is really what salvation is. It is the everlasting relationship with God. That there is nothing in all of creation, neither life nor death, that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more time, what salvation really is. It is the eternal relationship with God in life and in death. So, Ephesians writes that this covenant of salvation is one that God first established with God's Jewish children. But God, who is steadfast in love, cannot limit this covenant just to God's Jewish children. Ephesians writes that God's covenant of salvation also includes the Gentiles. Now, this might not seem like a really big deal to all of us, but it is. For the audience of Ephesians, the idea that God could include the Gentiles? If God's going to let the Gentiles in, folks, God's going to let anybody in. This inclusion of the Gentiles, an inclusion that God makes clear in the life, the death, the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus Christ, means that God's covenant of salvation is so expansive, it includes all of us. In Jesus, God makes it clear that the covenant of salvation, everlasting relationship, is for all. This first part of Ephesians theology rests on God's expansive covenant promise of salvation. Second part of Ephesians theology speaks of how we then are called to live in response to God's plan of salvation. We're called to live with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. This spirit continually helps us to grow in knowledge of God and recognition of God's presence in the world. Ephesians says that we are called to grow into Christ-like maturity, seeking ever to live in the example of Jesus. And we, Ephesians writes, we as the church, not as individuals, but as the collective people of faith, are called to be the fullness of Christ in the world. We are given authority through faith to be the body of Christ. Now, to be clear, faith does not give us authority to do whatever we want or authority over others. Rather, faith gives us authority to live with conviction in relationship with God and in Christ-like maturity. Ephesians is very concerned that we live in response to God's plan of salvation. This plan of salvation is about how we live here on earth, the decisions we make while we are living in response to the presence of God. These decisions do not promise salvation. They are in response to the salvation that has already been given. But this salvation Ephesians speaks of is not just about the earthly plane, for Jesus lived among us on earth and is seated at the right hand in the heavenly places. The presence of Christ encompasses the heavenly places and the earthly plane on which we live. God's covenant of salvation, God's promise of everlasting relationship encompasses both life and death. For there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, neither life nor death. My siblings, the hope to which God calls us is God's expansive covenant of salvation. The riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints is God's promise that God is with us always. The immeasurable greatness of God's power is God's plan, made clear in Jesus, of everlasting relationship. Today, as we honor our loved ones who have died, we do so in the assurance of God's covenant of salvation. This expansive covenant includes all of us and everyone. This promise of everlasting relationship encompasses both life and death, and it unites us. It unites us with the loved ones that we have lost, so that our relationships continue through the steadfast love of God. By the love of God in Christ Jesus, neither life nor death separates us from our loved ones who have died. We are one in the body of Christ. So, my siblings, when our hymn begins to play in a moment, I invite you to come forward and light a candle or two or three or more for your loved ones who have died, who you have laid to rest. For we light these candles with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, with the hope to which God calls us, with the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and with the immeasurable greatness of God's power. We light these candles in assurance of God's covenant of salvation, which unites us who are living with our loved ones who are with Jesus now in the heavenly places. Amen.